Well, I guess you guys are the only two left at the conference, and us. So I appreciate your coming. I'm Chip Sutton with eView Technology. Today I'm going to talk about what we do, which is integrate IBM systems, specifically IBM mainframe and iSeries or AS400s, as they're still called by a lot of people, with the System Center Operations Manager. And I'll also at the end talk about what we're doing new in the Microsoft Operations Management Suite area. Just a little background on our company. We started about 15 years ago doing integrations for HP and their management product, specifically Operations Manager. It was an area that HP didn't really focus on with their Operations Manager. They covered Windows servers, Unix servers at the time, but they did not do mainframe. And HP had customers that would specifically ask, you know, well, if I'm going to use this as an enterprise management tool, how am I going to do my mainframes or how am I going to do my iSeries or AS400 systems? So HP actually came to our company because they knew about some previous work that we had done with our agent technology. For example, anybody that remembers SNA environments and a product called Cisco Blue, the agent technology for the mainframe behind Cisco Blue was developed by the predecessor to eView technology. So HP had heard about this and came to the company and asked, would you be able to do an integration with our operations manager? So we actually, it was a kind of a joint effort between HP R&D and eView to take our technology and integrate it into Operations Manager, and that's how it all started. About 5 years ago, coincidentally enough, it was an HP conference where we were exhibiting, and Microsoft was also exhibiting at the same conference, and one of the Microsoft people came by our booth and saw what we were doing. And he said, we'd like to talk to you about doing this for System Center. So that started our effort into integrating with System Center. We got a lot of support from Microsoft and their System Center R&D team in terms of, you know, the best way to do the integration. And then both products were born. We developed management packs. The features and functionality of those management packs has continued to grow, and I'll talk about some of what we do. But the technology we're using, which really is the heart of the integration, our agent technology is a very mature technology, been around 15 years, and some parts of that technology even longer. What kind of environments are you specifically interested in terms of IBM systems?
iSeries.
iSeries, great. This is a high-level architecture of how the integration works. You'll see, of course, on the left, the agent that I talked about that exists either on the mainframe or the iSeries systems. You'll see under the agent where I have the word message filtering. We do a couple different levels of filtering. The first level is we do at the agent level. So in specifically in terms of iSeries things, like what messages are sent or what system audit type events are sent over to eventually into SCOM can be filtered to some degree at the agent level. That way, things you know you don't want over on the management server, there's no reason to send those. But that's kind of all we do in terms of filtering. For the iSeries, there's some additional filtering capabilities on message queues based on severities, whether or not it's an inquiry type message, some additional things. But we purposely keep the filtering at a level where we can do it very fast, very efficiently. Because one of the design points for our agents is to be low overhead. You know, we don't want on these IBM systems to use a lot of overhead because you're doing a lot of production processing on there. So we don't want to use a lot of the cycles doing management type activity. So, you know, the basic design of the agent is to get data that's needed for management, but then do it very quickly, efficiently, get it over onto the server that we call a proxy server. And that's where we have what we call our server component running on the proxy server. It's communicating with the agent via TCP/IP. It's a very robust communication. We do things like heart beating between the server component and the agent so we know when there's a connection. And then when the agent realizes, you know, via the heartbeat mechanism, if the agent detects it's not connected to the server component, can't deliver information to the server component, it will begin buffering that information so you don't lose any type of data. Also on the proxy server, there's a SCOM health agent. The health agent is where the workflows run that are part of the management pack. And then the server component is communicating with the health agent, actually not directly, but it's doing it via things like, so messages, performance data are going into an application event log. And then there's a management pack that's installed and ported onto the management server. The management pack has the rules, the monitors. We have default dashboards. So the rules are set up to get messages from the event log, get performance data from the event log. For performance data, it's going to go into the data warehouse. And then the unit monitors, which would be run by the health agent, are then using that server component to go back to the AS400 to do things like discover objects that are going to be monitored and then get data about those objects and then be able to, you know, look at thresholds, post alerts, typical kind of things, you know, that are done by unit monitors. Yeah, I know it's a big crowd, but if you have questions, feel free to jump right in and ask. So just kind of a review. So the software agents that are on the IBM system are doing, you know, like I said, that's kind of the heart of the monitoring, you know, that's done. You know, the goal is to get data to the SCOM console where operators or staff that are doing the monitoring can be aware of things that are going on the system, what needs action, so forth. But, you know, what you're doing with SCOM, with your other systems today, you know, we're extending that to the iSeries and mainframe systems. And, of course, the features, I mean, you know, what I think most most companies are trying to move towards, and that's the consolidated view of all the systems in the enterprise. I didn't say a lot about, I talked about performance data, and I'll talk about it a little more, but for both mainframe and iSeries, you do have the option to collect performance statistics, and it's system-level performance statistics, so it'll be things like CPU for iSeries, it's ASP-type information, but also disk subsystem activity, you know, like disk response times, you know, I/O rates, things like that. But, you know, the idea is to really, you know, get you to the point where you can do more proactive monitoring and problem resolution. And one of the ways that we also help with that is, you know, the two-way communication between our server component and the agent. So not only do we get data from the agent about the system and messages, events that are going on, but we can send requests back or actions back. So, you know, give you a simple example of that is we have an operator task that's part of the management pack, and so when you select when you get a message from an AS400, there's two levels to that message. One's called the primary message text, which is what when the operator displays the operator message queue, that's what they see. But if they need additional information about the message, they can also then select that message on the AS400, hit a function key, and they'll get what's called secondary text or help text. So we have an operator action that actually, when the operator selects a message in the SCOM console, they can then launch that action. It will go back to the agent and get that secondary text and then display it on the same, you know, where they're running the console. So that, you know, that's just one example of how that two-way interface can be used. I talked about security event monitoring specifically for iSeries. That's the data from the system audit journal. So you can configure which types of audit journal events you want to get, and we typically cover all of the major security-related audit events. So things like system value changes, user profile type events. If you're doing object-level auditing, you know, things like change object, delete object, you can see those types of events. These are just, you know, some of the customers. I don't think I mentioned in the beginning about company overview, but, you know, I did talk about how long we've been doing this. So we have quite a large number of customers. Typically, the IBM systems are in some of the larger companies, especially mainframes. So you might see some names you recognize there. And our software is installed in, I think, somewhere around 35-plus countries today. I'll go into a little more detail now about the architecture and how it's actually implemented with the agent and the proxy server. On the proxy server, we have two processes that we run. One's called a message server process and then a command server process. And these are the processes that are communicating with the agent. The names kind of tell you what they do. The message server is receiving everything that's coming from the agent, and then the command server is any kind of command or request would be sent back through the command server. And so these can be things like AS400 commands, you know. So for example, like display system status, or looking at files, or you know, basically any kind of command that you can run on AS400 to get output from, you could send back through this command server interface and get that output back. And then we also have a number of built-in functions that are part of the agent. So things that we use a lot for monitoring, we have built-in functions in the agent to make it really more efficient in terms of things. So we call them API functions, because the agent's using AS400 or iSeries APIs to do these functions, get this information. But it would be, for example, things like memory pool information, or just a list of active jobs and subsystems and the status of those jobs. So we have interfaces that, and we actually, all of these interfaces are documented, so if customers want to build their own custom monitors that could use any of these kind of interfaces, then how to use the interfaces, what the input parameters are, what the output coming back is, could use these to write your own scripts for your own monitors to make use of that interface. I talked about how the fact that the data goes into an eView application event log. That there are rules that apply to that, and then also the management pack, has the unit monitors that I talked about. The only other piece that I haven't really talked about is a web configuration interface. There's certain configuration that has to be done because we communicate over TCP/IP. There's some information that needs to be set up. We have everything really has defaults, but we allow you to change things. So, for example, the message server, command server, each use a TCP port to communicate. When you bring up the configuration, there'll be a default port numbers. But if you need to change those because those ports are used by another application or anything like that, then you would change that in that configuration. And then there's also configuration for things like the filtering, where I talked about message filtering for the agent. We have a default configuration for what messages, but then you can use this configuration interface, modify that filter, and then through that configuration interface, just push that right out to the agent to change that. Also, message queue configuration. Our default configuration monitors the system operator queue, QSysOper, but you can add message queues. So if you have application queues or other products like Mimix that write errors to its own message queue that you want to monitor, then you can add those message queues to the agent configuration, and it'll monitor those as well. And then a lot of the unit monitors, we have some that are enabled by default, but many of them are not enabled by default because you may not want to use those monitors, or they may not apply in your environment. For example, MQ series. Not everybody runs MQ series on iSeries. So if you're not running that, you wouldn't enable it. But if you are, you would enable it. Also, we for some of the different types of monitors, like where we monitor job queues, output queues, memory pools, you can, in that configuration, you can specify the default threshold that would be applied across the board. But then once the unit, once the discovery is done, and for example, let's talk about job queues. Once all the job queues are discovered, then it would apply that default threshold, but then you can go in and do overrides to set different thresholds. Or if some job queues aren't important, you can just remove those and not monitor those job queues. I didn't hear you say you have mainframe, but these are some of our mainframe features. In case you ever get one, you might want to know some of the features. But mainframe, we operate, we monitor the operator console and syslog, which are basically the operator logs where all the system messages and a lot of application messages go there. We have monitors, unit monitors for monitoring things like what jobs that should active. And same thing, I'll go through the same thing on the iSeries. We have something similar for the iSeries. We have monitoring for CICS IMS, which are very popular IBM products that are used for developing applications. MQ series, which runs on basically any IBM system that IBM supports, operating system, and also performance data collection for the mainframe. So the iSeries features, of course, I've talked about message queue monitoring and system audit journal monitoring. I hadn't mentioned QHIST monitoring, but we actually do have an option that you can monitor QHIST. Now, most messages that go to QSysOper also go to QHIST, but there are some messages that only go to QHIST and don't go to the system operator queue. So if those are important messages, something that you would want to have forwarded over to the management server, then you can enable the QHIST monitor and select those particular messages. The agent will pick those up and send those. The performance monitoring, we have some alerting built in with the performance monitoring as well. And if there's a performance metric that you wanted to alert on, you know, in the alert view, you could just add a rule to do that. But it also takes that performance data and we'll put it in the data warehouse. And then we also have some default reports that you can run against that data to do reporting. The unit monitors, I'm not even sure I've covered all of them on this slide, but some of the main ones there, monitoring jobs and subsystems. So if you have particular jobs or subsystems that should be active, because they're critical to the application, then you can set up, and that's part of that web-based configuration, you can configure that job or subsystem to be monitored. You can also specify in that configuration which day of the week it's monitored and which hours of the day. So if it's not important, say from 10 at night till 6 in the morning, then you can set it up so that it doesn't monitor and doesn't alert during that time, if the job's not running. And for a lot of, interactive type applications, they may be, running other jobs at night against the databases, and they don't want, transactions being done, and so those jobs or subsystems might be brought down, and you don't want to get alerts if that's normal part of the schedule. So you can configure all of that as part of the monitoring. I talked a little bit about job queues and output queues. They're similar type monitors where you can, for job queues, you can monitor for the threshold of how many jobs are in that queue. If you have an application job queue, and typically it should never have more than 2-3 jobs sitting in the queue waiting to run, you can set that threshold so that you'll know, if something's wrong in the application and the jobs are starting to back up, and somebody can take some type of action with that. Output queues is basically based on how many files are in the output queue. So if there's an output queue and somebody's generating lots and lots of files and output, you could alert and know that so that somebody can take some action before it starts filling up the space in the ASP. MQ series, I don't know if MQ series is of interest, but we do have monitors for MQ series. It will discover the queue managers, the channels, the queues, monitor whether the queue manager is active, whether the channels are running or not running, and then the depth of the message queue. And so you can, different queue depths on the different queues that are discovered. So if applications are, receiving messages on a message queue and it's building because the application is not running or not processing fast enough or some type of problem, then you can be alerted and be aware of that type of problem. And I've talked about the data collection into the data warehouse. I've got some screenshots. I was hoping I might be able to do a short demo and actually show some live screenshots, but as presenter's luck always has it, our server, one of our main servers that's hosting the database for the management server, has got a hardware problem at the moment, and I'm not sure it's going to be fixed and up and running before I'm finished with the presentation. But I will say this, if this is something that is of real interest, something we do all the time is we do WebEx demos. So, when you're back in the office and you'd like to see a demo, we can certainly schedule a WebEx demo and, go through all the different things we've talked about in the product and show it to you working in our live environment. But this is just, an example. I mean, of course, our whole goal was to make, what we integrated into SCOM look like everything else looks, except it's just specific to the AS400. So this particular screen is just an alert view showing some alerts from a couple of the monitors, the output queue monitor and the job queue monitor, where the thresholds have been exceeded. And some of the different views, we have this diagram that basically shows the AS400, the two of our AS400s, and then going down into some of the levels. So just a diagram view. Is an example of some of the rules for the messages that are there as part of the management pack. So I talked about the fact that you can add message queues. So just a little bit about how that, you know, would work. So if you wanted to add an application message queue, you wanted to add messages to that. So the process would be, you know, to go in through our configuration interface, define that message queue to the agent, so the agent will start monitoring it. Those messages would then start going into our application event log. But then you would need to create a rule for those messages so that you would specifically, you know, be able to do what you wanted to do, like put it into the alert view or whatever. So any messages that aren't already configured as part of our defaults in the management pack, or, you know, if you add queues and messages for those queues, then you would need to add rules for those as well. And when you add the rules, what you do is you save those to a second management pack that we provide. So we provide our primary management pack, which is a sealed management pack, and then we provide an override pack. And then you save, you know, any overrides for new rules, thresholds, anything you do into that override pack. That just, you know, just to make sure that, you know, when we update the management pack, send out a new management pack, you're not going to lose what you've done. We also have another interface, some of the things that I talked about that, you know, to be able to do actions and utilize the two-way interface that we have. But there may be occasions where an operator might want to just look at what's going on the AS400. For example, you know, what jobs are running, you know, or state of certain jobs, you know, if there's a question, or get some information from the log of a job. So we provide a web, what we call our web management interface, that can be, you know, launched as an operator action from the console. And then gives the operator the ability to do things like look at the jobs. They can select the job, get additional info about the job, when the job started, things like that. Or they can look at the last X number of messages that were written to the jobs log, all from this this interface. Same type of thing for job queues, output queues, configuration status, which are things like what they call lines, controllers, and devices. On the system, non-program messages. So this is actually going to display any message on the system that's waiting for an operator reply to that message. And then from that interface, you can actually reply to the message. So there's also an operator task that will actually take the operator directly to that interface where they can reply to a message. So an example would be a message occurs, I run a job, I want to save my library to a tape. So I run that save live command on the AS400, say I want to save that out to tape 01, hit the enter key, but there's no tape in the drive. So that's going to generate an inquiry message for the operator that says, hey, this job needs a tape in this tape drive. And then once the tape is mounted, a response has to be entered that says, you know, go, or, you know, if I'm an operator and say, well, he didn't call me, tell me he needed a tape, cancel. I'm going to reply cancel his job. But it needs to have a reply before the job can continue on. We might have that message show up in the alert view in SCOM. Operator can select that message, click on the operator task for the message reply. It'll take them right to that interface, that tab for non-program messages. That message will be there. They can select that message and then enter the reply right there without having to sign into the AS400. Something that we also introduced in our latest release related to these messages that need a reply is we have a monitor that can be enabled that will actually close that alert when the reply is done to the message. So what that monitor does is it's looking for the reply message. When it sees a reply message, then it goes in and closes the alert. So once the message is replied to, you may not want to keep that message in the alert view anymore because it no longer needs action. And then the last tab is system status. It just, very similar to what an iSeries system status command provides with, CPU utilization, ASP utilization, be able to look at the memory pools. This is just a little screenshot of that. I talked about the configuration application. So we're looking at the screen here where I talked about if you wanted to add another message queue to be monitored, information about the message queue name, the library, filter. We have the message filtering. So when you add a message queue, you can decide whether or not you want to apply the level of message ID filtering. So if you say yes, that means go look in the message ID filter and see if the message is there before you send it. But if it's something where you know you want all the messages, you can do that as well. An example I used before, like with Mimix, which is replication software, Mimix can be configured to write only errors or critical type messages into its message queue. In that case, we may want everything from Mimix, so we can just say, when I add that queue, say filter no, and it's going to send everything. But we can also further qualify it by severity, too. So if we don't want, we don't want to use an actual message ID filter for the queue, we can do things like say, okay, 70 and above is typically the most critical message on iSeries, so I can put that, configure that for 70, and then the agent would only send anything from that message queue if the severity is 70 or greater. The age limit has to do with when the agent starts, the first time, and how old for the messages it will go back and look for. So let's say you typically have a maintenance window on a Sunday. If there's a lot of messages that have occurred, as a result of somebody doing maintenance, over like a four-hour maintenance period, you may not want to send all those messages. So you can tell it how far back when the agent starts up, it needs to go. You want it to go to send messages. But the agent's also smart enough; it also remembers when it shut down. So it will also use that. So it won't go. It'll never go any farther back than the last time it shut down. So that's to make sure you don't get duplicates being sent to the management server. And that last parameter, inquiry, is another filtering. This actually came about as a customer requirement. We had one customer that said, we have messages, certain messages, we know the message IDs that we want, but we want every inquiry message, and we don't want to have to put every inquiry message in the filter. So we actually added an option that says for the inquiry, if that's on, it says don't even check the filter. If it's an inquiry message, send it. So that just saves some work in building, the filters that are used. Installation requirements, of course, you saw in the diagram, we do require a proxy server. I know we get questions from time to time, but I want to run it on the management server. As I said, we worked very closely with Microsoft developing this, and one of the things that they were pretty adamant about was that we build the workflow so that it would not run on the management server. So we do require the proxy server. It can be a VM, depending on how many AS400s that you're monitoring, doesn't necessarily need to be that big or have that much resource, but we do require the proxy server. Microsoft just did not, want another application putting load on the management server. And I think that's probably, is a good call for most installations. Says we support 2007 or later. Actually, I guess we still, we still do. I think most people are running 2012 these days. Of course, we support that. The proxy server can be 2003 server or later. With 2012, our integration with SCOM 2, our our latest version of our UV400 product, the proxy needs to be a 64-bit machine, so it really needs to be 2008 R2 or 2012 for 60. So we've moved to only supporting 64-bit, and I think most everybody's going that way anyway. AS400, it's version 5.3 or later, all the way up through 7.1, I think, right now. It's the latest release. And I said I would talk about something that's coming soon with OMS. Started doing and getting into looking at integrating with some of the log analytics products that have come out into the market. The first one that we did integrate with was Splunk. I don't know if you're familiar with Splunk at all. We first found out about Splunk probably at our first MMS, which was what I think maybe 5 years ago, something like that. And Splunk was this little company. We were in this little booth at MMS, and almost right next to us was this other company called Splunk. We're kind of looking at it, it's like, what is Splunk? And we actually talked to him, learned a little bit about it. But then we actually had one of our mainframe customers who was a very large Splunk user and had quite a few mainframes, and actually they were using our agent with one of the other HP products. Their Splunk lead called up and said, hey, do you think we could use your agent to get data into Splunk? And we still didn't know a lot about Splunk at the time, and I said that. I said, yeah, we don't know a lot about it, but, it could be possible. So he actually did a WebEx and showed us what they were doing with Splunk on their Unix and Windows systems. And then so we talked a little bit about how data got into Splunk, and we actually developed a prototype with them for Splunk for the mainframe. And then we followed that up with the same thing for iSeries to get basically the same type of event performance, audit type data into Splunk. So that data can be, analyzed, searched, reported, and all the things that people do with Splunk. Now with OMS and log analytics and OMS, we're basically doing the same thing. Using the same agent technology, and getting that data from the iSeries or mainframe into log analytics. So what we'll have in there would be the same types of data that for SCOM, system application events, although, you might want more or different types of data, into a log analytics program, that you wouldn't necessarily want, in SCOM or showing up in an alert view in SCOM. But the performance data in there, audit journal data, and then we're in the process of developing, at least some default dashboards, which is the same thing we've done with Splunk, creating, it's default dashboards. People that are using these products are typically building custom dashboards because the idea of putting this data together is to be able to look at, data from, my Windows server, my Linux server, my iSeries server that all pertain to maybe the same application and look at it in one dashboard. We provide the defaults because people can look and see, okay, this is how the data is coming in. It gives them something, when they install, at least they've got something to look at right away, and then they can move on from there to create the custom dashboards. So today that's work in progress that we're doing, but it will be coming later this year for OMS log analytics. And just these are very early screenshots with actual data that's flowing from our agent through. It's a very similar concept, proxy server. In the log analytics world, we just call it a collector. It's collecting the data and then sending it to the logs, the log repository. And there's our website. If you want more information, since we did have the Murphy come and bite us in terms of being able to do the demo during the presentation, certainly be glad to schedule that. When you're back at the office, and maybe you want to have other people see it as well. Any questions? Not only in terms of things like JDE jobs that you might be monitoring, give you an example for one of the monitors that I don't know that I really talked about, unit monitors for libraries. We can monitor libraries for how big the library is. So, most applications like JDE are in their own libraries. So in terms of the application components, you can monitor those, but not anything like specific, where we would go into JDE, where it's not part of the normal say object architecture that's part of the iSeries operating system. But as I said, there's the interfaces that we have for the agent can be exploited by yourself as well. And we have customers do that. In fact, it's a very recent example. Customer wanted to be able to, they have an application that used data areas on the AS400, and that application puts something in the data area that indicates there's a problem, and they needed to be able to monitor that. And there's always multiple, typically with products like SCOM, there's multiple ways you can do things, but the thing that was the simplest and easiest for them to do was to write C. I don't know if you're familiar with CL on the iSeries. CL is a command language. It's sort of like scripting language. Was to write a CL program that would run when they knew they needed to check the file. It would display that data area, look for that keyword, and when it found that keyword, it would send a message to a message queue that they had configured to be monitored. So there's a lot of different ways you can also customize your monitoring because, our interfaces are very open. And also, as I said, even to the point where, you can use our interface to, issue commands and do things yourself. So. Anything else?